I'll tell you what, if I was making NFL picks for the mob, they'd probably whack me. From Los Angeles, it's Mark Elliott with the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast for Monday, September 23rd. And here's what's up on the Big Four Sports page today. I'll recap the best of the NFL Week 3. What a pathetic display by the Las Vegas Raiders, and I'll tell you who needs to be stepping up more than anyone else. We're starting to see how the college football playoffs are shaping up. I've got the teams to be watching. The WNBA playoffs are underway, and Caitlin Clark finally got some respect. It's the last week of baseball season, so we're going to talk who's in, who's out of the playoff picture, Mr. 50-50's next challenge before the season ends. And my Cincinnati Reds have made me a very happy man today. That's what's coming up on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, now playing on Alexa, Spotify, Amazon. You can get it on Audible and at BigFourSportsUSA.com, where you can also read the Big Four Sports page. All right, let's dig in. The best of the NFL Week 3. The Kansas City Chiefs won last night against Atlanta, but once again, there is controversy over a pass interference play in the end zone preventing Atlanta what could have been a game-winning touchdown. I've come to the conclusion if you're going to beat Kansas City, you got to blow them out. You can't let the referees decide the games. And it's certainly starting to look that way. There's been several plays, and we've talked about this. The refs aren't going to call every play. They're not going to see every penalty. But this play in the end zone was so freaking obvious, and you can go look at Big Four Sports on X. I put the play up there so you can look at it. And you tell me if that's not pass interference and the referees missed it. But this is happening way too many times for it to be a coincidence. The Steelers' 10-point win over Los Angeles. The Chargers most likely will solidify Jason Fields as the Steelers' QB1 moving forward. Pittsburgh 3-0 to start the season. Who saw this coming? But he's not setting the world on fire, but he's getting the job done. And as long as the W's appear, I think Russell Wilson sits. Minnesota sent a clear message to the NFL that they're serious contenders in the NFC North. They blew out a good Houston team 34-7. Sam Darnold has found a home in Minnesota. It wasn't surprising to me to see Seattle beat up on Miami without Tua. 24-3 the final. I think it's safe to say the Miami Dolphins season is done for 2024. But it also brings up the question, you know, they knew this was a possibility. Why didn't they double up with a better backup quarterback? It's going to hurt them for the remainder of the season. We're only 3 weeks in. My pick so far this week is a dismal 7-7. After last week's performance, like I said, I'm surprised the mob, you know, if I was picking games for them, they'd whack me. Would have cost them a lot of money. We got two games tonight on Monday Night Football. Maybe I can go, you know, at best 9-7, 8-8. God, I hope it's not 7-9. But I've got Buffalo over Jacksonville at home and Cincinnati beating Washington at home. Hey, what a pathetic performance by the Las Vegas Raiders against the Carolina Panthers. You know, I have no understanding how a team can walk into Baltimore and beat the Ravens like they did and then come home for a season opener against the worst team in the NFL in the middle of a quarterback controversy and literally get mauled. 36-22 doesn't tell the story. The Raiders weren't ready to play, and I put that on Antonio Pierce. Now, here's the problem. The Raiders are in the same division as Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton. And then you've got Antonio Pierce. You got the inexperienced coach going up against guys who've won Super Bowls, won national championships in college, been to the Super Bowl, and here the Raiders have Antonio Pierce. I was afraid of this when they named him head coach last year. I got on board because, you know what, sometimes somebody who's good at motivating players and getting the best out of them makes a difference, but he didn't have the Raiders ready to play yesterday. He's pointing blame at other players making business decisions on the field. And he says, now the Raiders are going to make some business decisions. Well, that's going to be a nice way to motivate players. Three games into the season, this is the controversy. I mean, I get that you blew it, Antonio, but look in the mirror, dude. You're the one that might have been the bad business decision. You didn't have your team ready to play yesterday. If they would have just listened to my game plan, which was don't play down to your competition, enforce your will on all three sides of the ball, playing at home for your season opener where the fans were rabid and ready to go for this one, you had plenty of fan support, and you couldn't get up for the Carolina Panthers. Really. That's coaching. That's the Raiders' weakness compared to the other teams. Bo Nix looked really good yesterday. He's figuring it out. They went down to Tampa Bay, and the Broncos thumped Tampa Bay 26-7 behind Bo Nix. Raiders got some issues. They're 1-2, and they should be easily 3-0. Point the mirror in your face, Antonio Pierce. You're the problem at this point, my friend. Well, you're not my friend. You're just the coach of the Raiders, but take a look in the mirror. That's all I'm saying. That pathetic performance is on your shoulders. The college football playoffs are starting to line up, at least for the top seven teams. I think, you know, unless you get an upset, I think it's fairly safe to say Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Miami, and Tennessee are in. They look solid. It's the next five that are going to get jockeyed around the rest of the season. And even if the top seven teams lose a game, they're not going to drop that far out of the picture. Just depends on when they lose the game, if they do. But that's how it's shaping up right now. 8 through 12, up for grabs. The first round of the WNBA playoffs are underway, and after the games on Sunday, the top four teams look like they're unbeatable. New York, Connecticut, Minnesota, and Las Vegas all moving on after game one. And I don't see anybody that's coming up that's going to beat them. That includes the Indiana Fever. I think it's one round and out for them. Caitlin Clark was voted the AP Rookie of the Year, capturing 100% of the vote, so congrats to her. But she had a rough first game. 11 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds. If the Fever have a chance in this series, she needs double that production. Are they going back to Indiana? Connecticut looked really good, so I don't see that being more than a 3-games-and-out series for Indiana. Depends on how they show up for game two. We'll see. It's the last week of the regular season for Major League Baseball before the playoffs begin. As of today, here's how things are shaking out. The Yankees, Guardians, Astros, Phillies, Brewers, and Dodgers have all but wrapped up their divisions. It looks like Baltimore and San Diego are a lock for the wild cards, and we still have some teams vying for wild card positions. In the American League, Kansas City, Detroit, and Minnesota, and Seattle are 1-2 games out. Right now, if the playoffs started today, Detroit would be in, along with Kansas City. In the National League, the Mets, Arizona, and Atlanta all still have a shot. The Braves are 2 games out. Right now, it's the Mets and Arizona locked in. So if the Braves can somehow pull together a 5-game winning streak this week, they might have a shot at it. But that's how it's shaping up right now. Shohei Ohtani showed up, showed out, and hit that 50-50 mark last week in a big way, going 6-for-6, 3 home runs, and 10 RBIs in the game. I mean, you talk about getting it over and getting it over fast. Right now, he's at 53 home runs and 55 stolen bases. Every time he adds to it, he breaks his own record. But right now, I think Ohtani's sights have to be on Aaron Judge of the Yankees, who's at 55 home runs. So now the individual battle this week will be between those two. Can Ohtani pass Judge to really put an exclamation point on this season? I think it's a given that these two guys are going to be MVPs, American League and National League. But who gets it overall? I think Ohtani's going to have to pass Judge in home runs to do that. I owe the Cincinnati Reds a ginormous thank you and a wonderful birthday present today by firing manager David Bell. His far as I'm concerned, it's been a long time in coming. They signed him to an extension last year, and now they're going to have to buy out his contract, but, you know, they weren't paying him a hell of a lot of money anyway. He finishes with a 409, 456 record in six seasons. And as I've said in the past, we can get a good idea, a good look into the future by past results. So hopefully the management looked at it and said, you know, yeah, 6 years is long enough. He's had the talent to turn this team around and at least make the playoffs this year. I think they felt after last year going, I think they were 83 and 79 last year, that they had the opportunity to turn it around and win at least 85, 90 games this year to make the playoffs. Didn't happen. So David Bell paid for it. I mean, here's a guy that really doesn't know how to fill out a batting order, manages a horrible pitching staff, especially the bullpen. I think the pitching staff, probably if you're a starter pitching for David Bell, you probably didn't have a lot of trust in him. And maybe that came out. But the Reds have the talent to win that division. They need an experienced manager who knows how to motivate and nurture at the same time. Because you've got some guys on the team who are now starting to head into that veteran status, but you have a young enough team that still need nurturing along the way. Now, I've heard the name Barry Larkin, top of the list. No. Larkin would fall in the same category as Brian Price and David Bell, first-time managers. That's not what this team needs at this point. If they're going to be a playoff contender in 2025, you need a manager who's been there, done that. They need a manager who knows how to nurture and knows how to motivate at the same time, who knows how to stack a batting order, who knows how to handle a pitching staff. That takes experience. Hiring Barry Larkin would be another on-the-job training situation. No, that's not what the Reds need. They need experience. And I would venture to say that there is a short list of managers out there like that with a lot of experience. I haven't had a chance to really look into it, to be honest. I'm just so giddy that they finally got rid of David Bell. I need to have a day just to enjoy the moment. Next week, I'll have some ideas for you. They're not going to hire a manager before the end of by the end of the month anyway, September 30th. But good to see that they made the right decision. And it's never easy to fire anybody. But I've always said this throughout my career: people fire themselves. And David Bell certainly had the talent, and he fired himself. You can agree or disagree. I'm sure I'll hear about it on the chat box, which we're going to dig into right now. At Big4SportsUSA.com, Alex C. from Fresno, California said, Mark, maybe if you were betting money on the games, your picks would be better thought out. Nothing risked, nothing gained, my man. You could be right, Alex, but you know what? I've never bet weeks one and two. Week three, usually I jump in. I'm still not at that comfort level. With these teams, there are so many teams that, like Minnesota, for an example, you know, we thought with the quarterback situation there that they wouldn't be a contender. So the same with Pittsburgh, 3-0, really? I'm not surprised Seattle's 3-0. I'm not surprised Kansas City's 4-0 when you got the referees on your side, but hey. But I think you're right. Maybe I would think out these picks a little bit better if I was putting my money where my mouth is. And guess what? I'm not ready for week four yet. I'm going to give it one more week, and then I'm going to step out on the limb and start playing for real. Jared K., Las Vegas, Nevada. I agree with what you said on your blog. New Year, same old Raiders. Enough said. Yeah. I mean, until the Raiders step up and show that they deserve to be a winning franchise, they just don't. How do you lose to San Diego? How do you lose to the Los Angeles Chargers? I still have a problem calling them San Diego. They should have stayed there. But when you open up the season as flat as they did against the Chargers, with the expectations that are on this team, you walk into Baltimore and beat a Ravens team and then lose to the worst team in the NFL. I mean, again, same old Raiders, new season. If they would have blown out Carolina, I would have said, now we got something. Now we've got something. Not that blowing out Carolina would have been difficult. They should have. But when you lose like that, you haven't really made that step. When you open the season with a divisional loss against the Chargers, you haven't really made that step and met the expectations. Now we're going to see how they step up and respond against Cleveland in Las Vegas. See how it goes in 7 days. Veronica W., Norman, Oklahoma. Well, you've kissed Caitlin Clark's ass all season. She wouldn't have been the unanimous rookie of the year if Angel Reese didn't get injured. How lucky for you. Why is this a personal attack, Veronica? I just call it as I see him. Okay, Caitlin Clark, she deserved it. Even if Angel Reese played the whole season, Chicago wouldn't have made the playoffs. And if they did, it would have been the eighth seed. Indiana, 20-20 on the year. They started the season 2-8. And it's all because of Caitlin Clark. Indiana doesn't make the playoffs again. In fact, this is the first time since 2016. All of that falls on Caitlin Clark's shoulder. She had a bad first game in the playoffs. Bad first game. That's to be, you know, I didn't expect it, but, you know, you can see why that could happen. She's still young, and she's still getting her feet wet in the WNBA. But when push comes to shove, she was clearly the unanimous Rookie of the Year choice, even if Angel Reese didn't get injured, in my humble opinion. All right, that's it for this week's edition of the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast. Thanks for checking it out. I do appreciate it. Conversation continues on X. Go to BigFourSportsUSA.com to connect with us on the socials, read the sports page, and reach out to us on the chat box. We'll do this again next Monday, September 30th. Game over.